Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Ugly buildings have left people feeling dejected, lonely and unable to form friendships. This is according to a new report in the UK by the Centre of Social Justice, who say that there's a clear link between social problems, a lack of community spirit and bad building design. And half of the people that they surveyed said that architects and planners were out of touch with what local people wanted. So does Ireland have an issue with too many ugly buildings? Robin Mandel from the Dublin Democratic Planning Alliance is with me on the line. Robin, do the look and aesthetic of buildings right across the country affect us?
Good afternoon, Andrea. The short answer is absolutely they do. Of course they do. If you think of anywhere where you feel good, it'll always be somewhere beautiful. And the other side of that is that anywhere that isn't beautiful, anywhere that is ugly, brings out the ugliness in our own nature. So it's a no-brainer. While that report is a UK report, it applies in Ireland, in the cities, in the towns, in our villages, where beauty, there is beauty and there is ugliness. And the ugliness is beginning to tend to get stronger than the beauty.
Who gets to decide what's ugly and what's not, though, Robin?
Well, that, again, that's a really good question, because beauty is in the eye of the beholder. But the sense of well-being that you feel when you're in a beautiful environment is really universal. You mightn't be able to identify, well, that's a beautiful part, that's not a beautiful part. It's the overall sense of beauty. I mean, if you think of Paris as a very good example, you know, it's the whole lot, it's the whole composition of where we live that makes us, that engenders well-being. There was a very famous American architect called Richard Neutra who said, give me a very happily married couple and I can design a house for them. Within 6 months, they'll be divorced. So the impact of buildings on our mental well-being is instrumental.
Yeah.
So the beauty ugly thing is to an extent in the eye of the beholder, but we know we know what we like. And we're missing that.
When you look around buildings, whether it be Dublin, Cork, I mean, in any of our cities or towns across the country, how do we fare out, Robin?
To be absolutely fair, we're pretty good. We've managed to hold most of the integrity of the places we live in, but it is hugely under threat from a number of social reasons. And we're beginning to see more and more buildings particularly that are beginning to be out of scale with their environment, that have the feeling of sort of cardboard cutout cookie stuff. You know, they're all there's a sameness, which is not the fault of the people making them, but it's just the way that society has developed, that we don't consider beauty to be as important as we should. And we don't consider just the sort of the beauty and the modesty of where we live and the places that we inhabit and we work in as being really important. We have kind of commercialized everything, and it is that commercialization has brought great benefits socially to an extent, but it means that we are making places that I as an architect find very ugly, isn't the right word, but very unsympathetic. And I think that leads to, that leads to social problems in the long run. Mm. And you don't have to go, you can see dereliction is one of the worst parts of ugliness. You don't have to go very far to see buildings that you do like and you don't like.
Just on that, Dr. Frank O'Connor is with us, Robin, too, on the line. Frank is in Cork from the Anish Agency in Derelict, Ireland. Like, is it a case that we just have too many empty, dilapidated, derelict buildings across the country, Frank?
Good morning, Andrea. There are, obviously, I suppose what I argue for us is that we're losing a lot of our beautiful buildings. So we are, like what Robin is saying there, we are losing a lot. So there's a lot of, obviously, decay and dereliction. And obviously, we're losing a lot of heritage buildings. And, we're losing a lot of materials as well. I mean, for example, in Cork, it would be our limestone sandstone. We're using their kind of signifiers for Cork, but every region will have their own materials. So we're losing what we have. But also, a lot of our urban spaces, as we all know, they're not livable spaces. They're not suitable for everyone from an 18 to 80-year-old. So it's more than just the buildings, it's what goes on around it. So it's the livability, so it's the parks, the play spaces, the seating, the access to toilets, the access for people with abilities, different ranges of abilities. So it's a much wider thing. So for me, I mean, yes, dereliction has played a huge role, and there are so many impacts with dereliction, but also the lack of our decaying heritage, which connects back to the sense of place, our vitality, our well-being. And to me, beauty is a basic service for everyone. That's something that Tiasa Gates, an artist in Chicago and the US, has often spoke about, that we need beauty. And I think we're lacking beauty in our urban environment. So it's a combination of the buildings and everything going on around us. And I think it's about balance and harmony. So a lot of the older buildings, unfortunately, we're losing. And the ones that we're retaining, sometimes we're just retaining the facade and what we're building around us. It lacks that balance, that harmony. And I think that's having a huge impact. And obviously, if our local authorities or whoever's in charge aren't looking after the wider city, then that has a huge impact on people as well.
So a lot of it's back to this urban planning then, Frank, is it?
Well, it is, I suppose, really very important. I mean, like, you know, that report you mentioned at the start, a big part of that was people having access to parks and play spaces as well. You know, there's a simple model we, Jude and I, talk about called Rest, Play, Work, the idea everyone has a home place to play and create and access to work. And in Cork, as we've mapped out Cork over the last years, as people know, in terms of decay and dereliction heritage, there's a huge lack of spaces for kids, for people to play, just to sit out, you know, and all that makes you feel better. But particularly, obviously, nature. You've got to remember, urban environments were once nature. You know, so really, you know, we are all connected to that natural environment around us. And in the city environment, we need that there as well, so people can reconnect back. And so, yes, a lot of the modern architecture isn't what we might like. And yes, it's subjective. But what's interesting, we've worked a lot with student projects in Cork with the students over the last years in the architectural school. And a lot of what they're doing at school is very different to what happens afterwards. And I think Robin has pointed out there already that there's an over-commodification of everything. It's all about commercial commodification. It's all about profit and consumption. Less about livability. Less about us as people who live there. And we often make the argument that a lot of decisions that have been made in our urban environments and not by people who actually live there. And I would always
So that comes back to the planning process then, doesn't it?
It does. It comes back to planning, it comes back to local authorities, it comes back to the teams who work in these councils and local authorities who are making those decisions, not just planning, but all those people involved. You know, do they understand the city? Is the city, is it for the people to live in, or is it just about pure consumption and commercialisation and commodification? And I would argue it's for people to live here as well, you know.
David O'Brien is from the Limerick Civic Trust. David, I believe you think that there's no ugly buildings.
Listen, without disagreeing with either of the other two speakers, I'd say there's purposeful buildings. There's no ugly buildings. Somebody else already said that beauty's in the eye of the beholder. So, yeah, there is essentially no ugly buildings. There's the use of the space around buildings and how you accommodate people and their needs that needs to be dealt with here, rather than just saying, you know, this is an ugly building, that's a beautiful building. The great Le Corbusier designed sort of some monstrous buildings that became fantastic habitats and later evolved into something else. So, yeah, I don't know that the notion that buildings are ugly is a good one. I think it's how we engage with them and the spaces we use around the buildings that's as important.
It's probably a lot, though, to do, I would have thought, with the variety and the style. And I don't know, is it just down to maybe different types of architecture or who builds what, maybe what period that it's built in as well? You know, that you can often just, if you look around some of the streets, and I suppose I spend my time in Dublin, a lot of the buildings just look the same.
Andrea, look, you walk down a beautiful street in Dublin, George's Street, and everything is the symmetry is there, everything's perfect, it's balanced on both sides, and it's very attractive. Equally, you walk down a street in Adair in County Limerick, and it's eclectic, thatched cottages, old churches and the like, and you think it's beautiful. So both can work. It's not one or the other.
But it is, though, Robin, like, it is actually having an effect, and a negative effect, though, on community spirit and on social issues.
I think it definitely is. You know, again, you don't have to go to Dublin or to Limerick or to Cork to see this. You can see alienation. And again, I agree completely with Frank and David that it's not just the individual buildings, it's the entire environment and it's the space between them. And the nastier that space becomes, the nastier people become. And, you know, it really is important that we understand that and that we shift the focus from being extraordinarily economically successful to trying to be more socially successful. I live in the city. There are parts of it that are much worse now than they were 20 years ago. There are parts of it that are much better now than they are than they were 20 years ago. And that's a real problem. They should all be better. So we've just taken our eye off the ball in terms of creating livable, not just cities, because Adair, for instance, isn't a city, but livable places for people to develop. And we failed in our infrastructure.
Well, just on that and on the development, Paul has got in touch. He says, unless we start to go high-rise and build up, we will eventually have no green areas left. Is there not a valid point in that, David, though?
There may be. I mean, in certain places like the Docklands in Dublin, but not in Limerick, not in Cork, maybe. I mean, Cork is a very flat city, but it still has room for growth and development. The extraordinary amount of empty properties and derelict properties within the city centre would probably accommodate most of the housing needs in Ireland at the moment without any high-rise or further development. So the capacity is there. But as both other speakers have said, it's the environment around those buildings that create the atmosphere and the ambience that people wish to live in. And unless that's done, unless there's security, lighting, green space, all these other aspects to the accommodation, then it never becomes a nice place to live.
Listener here says the new builds in the countryside are nothing more than an eyesore. Freshly plastered, never painted. The architecture lacks character and creativity. The Victorians did it right. I guess it's all preference at the end of the day. But modern buildings in Ireland are all the same. They're bland and they're boring. Another listener says, I love the modern building designs, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder. This texter suggests that Dublin, it has to be one of the ugliest capital cities in the world. Half of it should be knocked and the other should be rebuilt as a beautiful high-rise city just in the style of New York. Caroline is with us on the line. Caroline, what's your view on ugly buildings and whether or not we've too many of them?
I agree and disagree with a couple of the points there by your other speakers. I do think that the cities get a lot of attention when it comes to conversations like this. But if we look at the swathes of, I have to walk away from the radio was on in the other room. If we look at the swathes of estates that were built throughout the dreaded Celtic Tiger years, and they're just so monotonous, and you can't feel but monotonous in them. And, you know, the expanse of cement and roundabouts. So I don't know that it's just within our cities and dereliction, but certainly in all of those estates, there's absolutely no character. And to feel ownership of an area, to feel belonging, to feel a sense of pride, I think takes interest, certainly, in the surroundings. Like the buildings must have interesting points about them and the spaces that they have. I think that's something that just wasn't mentioned yet.
Yeah.
But I do think that commodification and capitalism is certainly responsible for the vast majority of the issues, in that if it can't make money, it's not worth doing. And that's so wrong. I would be very much in agreement with whoever it was that said we need to want social success as well as financial success.
Listener here says, I travel to the next town to do my textile course because the local centre is too small and too dark, yet there are loads of empty buildings locally that would absolutely make for a fabulous centre. You see, like, there's a lot of people, Frank, getting in touch about this, the number of derelict buildings and premises and units that are in, you know, not even just in Dublin City, but in towns right across the country and the villages. So are we just not doing enough to put pressure on the owners of those premises to do something with them?
Absolutely. Look, it's frightening, really. Like, I told you before, we chatted a few times in the past, and I told you we found 700 within 2 kilometres of the Cork City Centre, and we stopped counting. And that was a couple of years ago, and that was confirmed by the council this year. So there are way too many, and it's always in places where people want to live and to play and create. And I think, yes, we need to do a lot more. We shouldn't have people sitting on buildings when we need it. And there is enough space, like it was mentioned earlier, around places like Cork, not to go crazy in high-rise. I mean, a lot of people argue, I mean, I like 6 to 8 stories myself in terms of livability, but obviously people again will have different opinions on that. So we don't have to go crazy high and stuff. But what we need to do really is we need to invest in the communities and the people who live there. And that starts, like you said, there with a vacancy in dereliction and places to play and create and to live. And if you do that, everything else, Andrea, will thrive around it. I'll just give you a really quick example. We went to, as part of a walk, we went to like a place in the Netherlands, which was very poor, very deprived. And they've invested so much there, the Dutch government have, in livability, in spaces to play and create. It's amazing the transformation it can make to the society, to the culture, if you invest in what's around. So the economy will benefit, but you have to put the people first. Because if the people aren't happy, you're going to have knock-on impacts. We hear a lot about antisocial behaviour in Cork and Dublin, etc. But obviously, if the cities aren't looked after by the authorities, of course, other things around that start to crumble as well. So really, put people back at the centre of this. Like you said, take away the vacancy and dereliction, turn that into potential for spaces, for families, for communities, places to live. It's not that difficult. And again, let's look to other countries. They've done it other places. It is not rocket science.
I know. We're constantly talking and complaining about the lack of supply and houses and the number of migrants moving to the country, and we haven't got places to house people. And sure, the amount of texts I've heard today from people talking about derelict buildings in every town and village across the country. Sure, if we just try to bring a load of those back into use. Marco has got in touch. He says he thinks the US Embassy, and is it the Jones Engineering? Yes, headquarters in Dublin. He thinks they're not particularly pretty buildings. Another listener's taken issue with me because I mentioned Bus Aris. Like, I just think when you compare it to other capital city bus stations and public transport stations across the world, like a lick of paint, something to do it up would make it a little bit prettier. Kate, though, she's got in touch. She's in agreement with me in that. She says the bus station in Dublin is grim beyond belief. It should be cheery, welcoming, maybe some plants, coloured glass panels. Even the Christmas tree they erected last year, it couldn't cheer the grimness. Keep them coming into us, the pretty and ugly buildings across the country.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.